Our study tonight is out of Isaiah chapter 33, verses 13 through 24. God's encouraging promise of the wonderful deliverance of the righteous. After predicting the end of the humanly seeming unstoppable threat of Assyrian invasion, God through Isaiah and Isaiah 33, 13 to 24 promised the blessed deliverance of his people that they would enjoy in the future messianic kingdom. We view that passage for insight and edifying application for us in our era as follows. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Isaiah 33, 13 through 24. Hear, ye that are far off, what I've done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppression and shakes his hands from holding bribes, that stops his ears from hearing of blood or plans to shed blood and shutting his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him as waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities, or gatherings. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tent that shall not be taken down. Not one of the tent stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords of the tent be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship of the enemy pass thereby. For the Lord is our refuge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. Thy tacklings are loosened, they could not well strengthen their mast, they could not spread the sail. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided, the lame even take the prey. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Okay, a lot of wonderful predictions of the messianic kingdom are here. After predicting in Isaiah chapter 33, 1 to 12, the fall of the Assyrian invaders and those in Judah who faithlessly relied on them, that's what we studied last week, God addressed all men everywhere, be they far or near, to acknowledge his acts and his might. In response, the sinners in Zion, the city of Jerusalem and Judah, in the midst of coming divine judgment, would be afraid and trembling, asking who among them could dwell with God, the consuming fire in judgment? Who could dwell with an everlasting burnings of divine wrath? It's interesting, the book of Hebrews says, for our God is a consuming fire. It comes from this phrase in Isaiah 33, 14, the consuming fire in judgment. How is anybody going to be able to live with him? Now, it's interesting, the same phrase, the same idea appears in the book of Revelation. So we know he's talking about the Great Tribulation. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 to 17. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him night and day. Chapter 6, verses. I was looking at chapter 7. Chapter 6, verse 15. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, that's God the Father, and from the wrath of the Lamb, that's the Lord Jesus. For the great day of his wrath has come, and notice the question, and who shall be able to stand? See, during the Great Tribulation, people are going to be wondering, who's going to be able to handle this business with God? How do you relate to somebody like that? He seems to be so angry at sin. Well, Isaiah then responded, in Isaiah 33, 15 and 16, that the upright who practice righteousness would dwell with God and would dwell with that kind of a God. Those who walked righteously and spoke uprightly would dwell peacefully with God. That's verse 15a. and those who despised gaining wealth by oppression and bribes, who refused to listen to plots of murder to enhance their gain, and who kept their eyes from beholding evil, would dwell with God. See, these were problems that were occurring in the city of Jerusalem, especially the rulers and the leaders, where they were plotting to do away with people so they could seize their property. They would slander a widow, maybe in a court case, so that she'd have to be put to death, and they would seize her property. There was a tremendous amount of wickedness that was going on, and God was really fed up with it, and that's why he said the people who would function in the Messianic kingdom and enjoy its blessing with people who would not be doing these wicked things. Then these upright ones, in verse 16, would not only dwell with God, who was a consuming fire to the wicked, but they would dwell on the heights in a fortress of rocks, and their food and water would be given to them in great grace and security, free from any invading Gentile nation that was sent in as God's judgment. See, Isaiah presents the picture here that the problem isn't God. Yes, he's angry and he's judging these people, but there's a reason why he's judging. They're sinners. They're sinful. But if they're righteous, instead of facing the wrath of God, they're going to enjoy enormous security, enormous blessing. In other words, there's going to be a difference. It's going to be a difference that is as great as night from day. The blessings that the righteous will get in the Messianic kingdom are going to be overwhelmingly great. And the judgment on the people who sin is going to be overwhelmingly great. The difference between the Great Tribulation and the Messianic Kingdom that follow is the difference between night and day. And the issue is man's sin. It isn't that God is just a God who likes to blow his stack. It's that God is a God who expresses anger at sin. But when it comes to the righteous, he's very, very gracious and full of blessing for people. Now, expanding on the theme of the blessings of the upright, Isaiah described the Messianic kingdom blessings for the righteous when they would dwell with the God who was a consuming fire to sinners. It's interesting, you and I as believers are going to be without sin someday, without sin natures, and we're going to be dwelling with the Lord here on the earth in the Messianic kingdom. And we're going to be experiencing his tremendous blessing for 1,000 years. And it's going to be amazing. Because that God is the God who is a consuming fire. And yet we're not going to experience his consuming fire. We're going to experience his tremendous compassion and love. And that's what he's talking about here. The King, whom we know will be the risen and glorified Lord Jesus, will be on his throne in Judah, and the righteous will see him in his beauty. Isn't that wonderful? My wife and I are right now in the book of Ezekiel in one of our devotion, our morning devotions. And in Ezekiel chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 2, Ezekiel saw the Lord in his glory. And it was like looking at fire, and yet it was looking at glowing metal. It's sort of a surreal. But the brilliance of God was enormous. And Of course, Ezekiel is overcome with the brilliance, and so he falls on his face. He recognizes that it's God. But we're going to see the Lord Jesus in his tremendous beauty and glory as God. We're going to see the glory of his deity shining here on the earth. We're going to see him. And they will see their land stretching far and wide in contrast to the experience of Judah in Isaiah's day when they were confined to the cities due to the threat of invading Assyria. You see, the reason why Isaiah is talking about seeing the land far and wide, that's what he couldn't do in his day because everybody was cooped up. They were shut up in the town. They couldn't look out. My wife is from the Midwest, and she loves getting out, seeing the countryside where you can see for many, many miles. And it's still difficult when she goes around and the woods just hem you in. She doesn't like that with the trees hanging all over you and threatening to, like a vice, crush you. She likes to get out where there's a cornfield and you can see for miles and miles around. Loves to see a sunset and actually see the sun go down over the hill, right? Well, that's what it's going to be. In those days in the Messianic kingdom, people will be able to get out on the countryside and look and see. It's going to be a sense of tremendous liberty and freedom. And that's different from what the people in Isaiah's day knew. The God's people will then remember the past terrors. This is verse 18. Where it says, thine heart shall meditate on terror. Well, they're going to remember the past terrors. and ask, where was the Assyrian official who had counted and weighed out the oppressive tribute to be raised by Judah? And where was the Assyrian officer who had counted the number of defense towers Assyria let Judah's king possess? I remember seeing on television, when we had a television years ago, Peter Jennings, who's now deceased. But he went back to, I think it was Auschwitz, on the 50th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. And he had a fellow, a Jewish fellow there, who had been one of the prisoners there at Auschwitz. And this fellow was taking Peter around, showing him where they were and what happened and where they were and so forth. And it was almost unbelievable for Peter to recognize that, you know, here were SS officers in this location doing these atrocities here, and over here were the ovens and where the people lost their lives and so forth. You couldn't tell it now. They're just empty buildings, okay? It's like a park. But the man was there, and he was recalling very, very vividly everything that had happened. And but that's what it's going to be like in the Messianic Kingdom. People are going to be there who've been through the mill, and they're going to look back and they'll say, where are all the problems? They're gone. You know, where are all the terrorists? They're not here. They're gone. And it's going to be a wonderful time of tremendous release. In fact, the righteous in the Messianic Kingdom will no more see the oppressive Assyrians, a people of an obscure speech that they could not comprehend and a stammering tongue in a language that they could not understand. The Mosaic Covenant clarified that Judah's exposure to people of a foreign speech signaled God's judgment on his people. It does that in Deuteronomy 28:49. But in the kingdom, the judgment of Judah will be passed. And that's why they're not going to be forced to hear these Gentiles. In place of the departed oppressive Assyrians, God's people will be told to look upon Zion, the city of their appointed places of meeting where God would meet with them as opposed to meeting with the Assyrian officials who had oppressed them. Can you imagine this? In contrast to the Assyrian officials meeting with you to get money from you and to limit the number of towers you can have in order to protect yourself, we're going to be actually meeting with God in person in Jerusalem. Our protector, our provider. It's going to be a wonderful thing. You want to see the Lord? Two blocks there, one block over there he is. You can send people over there. You can go see him yourself. You want to see the Lord Jesus? There he is in his glory. Go talk to him. Give me something. Invite a friend up. Hey, you want to see the Lord? Want to talk to Jesus? Come on, let's go. And actually come up and talk to the Lord on his throne. In fact, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus will be teaching the nations his law. He's going to be spending time teaching like Solomon was teaching in the wisdom of people. It's amazing. It's going to be a wonderful time. Well, the people will behold Jerusalem to be like a permanent tent dwelling. It's interesting. Tents are not made to be permanent. Tents are made to be transitory. You put them up, and then you take them down and move. But Jerusalem is going to be like a permanent tent, an unusual place, whose tent pegs will never need to be pulled up for moving elsewhere for safety, nor would any of its tent cords even be broken in instability. Rather, God and majesty would be for Judah a place of surrounding broad rivers and streams, where no invading galley with oars like the ship of Assyria could go, nor will any majestic enemy ship even pass by it. The figures here are very, very difficult, but apparently God is going to be like a surrounding moat around the city of Jerusalem, like streams and broad rivers. But they're broad rivers and streams where no enemy ship could go. No enemy is going to be there. And then God, as Judah's judge, lawgiver, and king, would then completely save Judah's people. That's where he says in verse 22, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us. Well, in sharp contrast to Jerusalem and Judah, defeated Assyria will be like a shipwreck, whose spoils will be divided among the people of Judah, with even the handicapped lame folk taking spoil from it. This is amazing. Assyria at one time had been an enemy that everybody feared, and so people were clammed up inside the city. But the day is going to come when Assyria will be like a shipwreck, and so people who want to spoil can just come and take the spoil and go. In fact, the Bible talks about how the wealth of the nations will flow into Jerusalem, into the new Jerusalem as well. Also, illness will then be removed from Judah's people. For those who will then dwell in the kingdom will be forgiven their iniquity opposite the judged sinners of the past. In verse 24, the inhabitants shall not say, I am ill. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. No more cancer, no more heart disease, none of these things. No more flu bugs, okay? It's all going to be over. So for properly facing and handling sin, believers in the coming Messianic kingdom will enjoy a very blessed life in sharp contrast to their past sufferings under the then absent evil oppressors and their oppressions. So, since today's evil oppressors will be gone in divine judgment, and the upright will be richly blessed in the Messianic kingdom, may we live uprightly regardless of today's oppressions and hope of our coming future. I was thinking, in view of even the shooting that has occurred today, it seems that these tragic shootings are almost becoming common. Hate to say that, but you know, it happens. It seems almost every week or every other day there's something that's going on, some shooting. And I think just a couple of days ago, wasn't it, there was an abortion clinic where a fat man shot. And now there are these gunmen that shot up this situation. A message like this, a passage like this, is even all the more applicable. The day is coming when all this wickedness will be checked by God. It'll be fully dealt with. And God's people will be blessed. And in view of that, God wants us to look forward, as he wanted Isaiah in his day to look forward. Look beyond Assyria. Look beyond Babylon. And for us to look beyond terrorism. Look beyond the sin that we see existing even in our government and in our country around us and the nations around us. Look beyond that. Look to the kingdom, Messianic kingdom. We're going to be part of it. And in view of that, that gives us the encouragement to go ahead and live righteously. It may not be something that the world recognizes or appreciates, but we're not here to please the world. We're here to please the unseen God who's coming, and he's going to establish his kingdom. So Jesus says, even so, at the end of the book of Revelation, I come quickly, and I have my reward with me. The implication is you better be ready. So may we be ready and to be found always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as our labor is not in vain in him.